What is January 6th, Planning and Land Development Regulation Board? If you'd stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, if you will do the roll call, our leaders.
Mr. Beebe?
Here.
Mr. Dolomey?
Present.
Mr. Cupp?
Here.
Mr. Davis?
Here.
We have a forum.
Very good, thank you very much. Our first item tonight is the minutes from our previous meeting on December 17th, which were simply the approval of previous minutes. So I don't know if anybody has any comments or questions, or we will entertain a motion.
Motion we approve the minutes.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Dolomey. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No opposed. All right, we have one item tonight. It is a public hearing, and it is, use the right section here. It is application number 2770. It's a Tier 2 technical site plan review for a 96-unit multifamily project. And with that, I will turn it over to Mr. Tyner and his team.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I'd like to thank the Planning Board for coming to this special meeting. I know we asked for the special meeting to bring this project forward and try to expedite it as soon as possible. We weren't able to bring it to the last meeting due to trying to take care of some of the technical issues, but we wanted to bring it to you as quick as possible and try to work with the applicant as much as possible. This piece of property, first let me introduce Mr. Hoover. He is our brand new, not so new, but new to you, a new face to you, is one of our senior planners. We'll talk a little bit more after the meeting, but after this item, but Bill has a great deal of experience in current planning, and I'm very glad to have him part of our Palm Coast team. But back to the project, it is on an approximately 10.2-acre piece of property. Bill will give all the details. But I got to tell you, I when we were doing the comprehensive plan back in 2004 and going through the data analysis and going through our first zoning for the city of Palm Coast, we looked at different opportunities around the city at that time for good locations for multifamily sites. And this particular site was one that was identified when we did the new zoning map as multifamily. At the time of our comp plan, with some of our goals and our policies was, to look for those opportunities where you can have some multifamily development, where you can actually walk to the shopping center, where you can actually walk to restaurants, where you can actually walk to, all the different amenities that are surrounding that area. So, it's been multifamily for quite a long time, and I can tell you when the applicant came in and proposed some multifamily project for that, it was a plan that we had always planned for and looked forward to. So we were very excited about the opportunity of working with this applicant to make this a reality. But with that said, Mr. Hoover will have the details for the staff report.
As was pointed out, this technical site plan application, the applicant can obtain a development order which allows him to also get a building permit. The staff has reviewed this and is bringing it to the Planning Board, which has the ultimate approval or denial for this moderate Tier 2 level application. The site's located in the southeast quadrant of I-95 and State Route 100. And it's about 750 feet south of State Route 100 on the south end of Flagler Plaza Drive. And it's 10.2 acres, and there's no jurisdictional wetlands on the site. You can see that there's Holiday Inn to the north, a little bit further to the north on Flagler Plaza's Hampton Inn, and Winn-Dixie Shopping Centers to the east. There's a restaurant out there along State Route 100, as well as gasoline convenience stores, and I believe there may be a drugstore out there too. The site's designated mixed use, which allows commercial as well as residential, and you can sort of see on this slide as well as the next one that even though we got different property owners in this little quadrant there between Old Kings Road and I-95, it all acts together pretty well as a mixed use project. And the zoning is MFR2, which allows up to 12 units an acre, and the area 2, which is sort of showing up as brown on there, but it's actually COM2 and it's red. And then to the south is the agricultural land that's shaded, and then the light green area is a park, parks and green area or something similar to that. The site development standards for this project, some of the key ones there is the maximum density of 12. It's right. It's approved by staff at 9.41 units an acre. The maximum impervious coverage or ratio is 70% of the site. It's coming in at less than half at 44% of the site. Maximum building height would be about 4 stories or so, and it's coming in at 2 stories and 32 feet. And the minimum living area per unit is double what's required, and the units are between about 1,300 and 1,310 square feet. All the setbacks are met, and you can see the parking requirements on there are also met. And one of the requirements for a project having 50 or more residential units is having 2 access points. In this case, we have the main access road, which is Flagler Plaza Drive, and the emergency access is located to the west, and it would only be utilized by the fire department or emergency officials, and there would be a lockbox on there for them. This shows the building elevations. Each of the 6 buildings has 16 units, and they're all 2 bedrooms, and they all have about 1,300 square feet of living area. And the colors do meet they show up on there a little bit darker than what they actually are. What they do meet are color standards for the architectural. And this is according to Land Development Code, these are the 5 key criteria that are used in the evaluation for site plans. And the first one being that it's not in conflict with or contrary to the public interest. It needs to meet the Land Development Code in the comprehensive plan. And more specifically on the comprehensive plan, the housing's in close proximity to neighborhood serving uses. The pattern of the project and surrounding land uses in that quadrant are the type that promote efficiency in providing public services. And also there's interconnectivity for pedestrians, bicyclists, and motorists without even having to get out onto the arterial roadway network. proposed development would not have a significant financial liability for the city as any needed infrastructure would be provided by the applicant, and it's not a hazard, nuisance, or threat to the public. And the project meets all applicable local, state, and federal requirements. Based on a thorough review, staff has determined that the application does meet all the requirements of the Land Development Code and the Comprehensive Plan, and has recommended that the Planning Board approve this application, Flagler Point Condominiums application number 2770, subject to a condition that the applicant demonstrate approval of school concurrency with the Flagler County School Board prior to signature of the development order.
Let me just explain what that is. Way back, I can't remember the exact date, I think it was 2008, there was a interlocal, intergovernmental agreement between City of Palm Coast, the school board, Flagler Beach was part of Bunnell, Flagler County. And what it is on the interlocal agreement is that if for the school board, they need to meet school concurrency. So we have an agreement that, they're working with the school board, the applicant's working with the school board to make sure that there is capacity in our school for this, but the applicant needs to finalize an agreement with the school board, and that agreement most likely also be approved by our city council, is to determine the impact. And most likely how the school board's been doing it in the past is basically the agreement says, once you get your CO, that's when you're going to pay your school impact fee. It's kind of what we do now. It's kind of what we always been doing, but it's just formalizing that agreement. And we did not want to hold up the review process, the application, the process, so the applicant can get started and continue along with the process why they are working with the school board to satisfy that issue. So that's what that is.
Okay. Thank you. As part of our public hearing process, we allow the applicant to make a presentation. And so does the applicant want to come forward and say anything to the board?
The only thing, I'm John Trost. I'm with Prudential Commercial Real Estate.
If you could just come to the podium and...
On wheels. I'm John Trost. I'm with Prudential Commercial Real Estate. We'd like to thank the board for having a special meeting tonight and accelerating the decision process on this, and appreciate working with Bill and Ray. Their staff has done an exceptional job of working through the issues and communicating with Mr. Kazzer, the developer. But that's all we have to say. We believe it will be a successful project, and look forward to getting started.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions for us, just let us know.
Okay, yeah, we're going to bring it back to the board then, and we will entertain any questions for staff or for the applicant. Chris, I'm going to start with you.
No questions.
Okay.
The only issue that I have with it, and maybe you can address this with an aerial or something, is the access to this seems hideous to me for a 96-unit condominium project. Is the main access even a public right-of-way, or is it a cross-easement agreement with the shopping center and the developers in that area?
There's more than one main access road, and on here, if you see the one that comes off of and loops around the.
Do you have a pointer?
Yeah, that's my primary pointer.
The middle one.
Yeah, which one is the?
Yeah, the one that goes between the lakes.
Use your
yeah.
Okay. The mouse. Okay.
The mouse one. Yeah. Use your mouse.
Right. So there is a private roadway. This is a private road, Flagler Plaza Drive, that comes to here.
Right.
And it serves the subject parcel, Holiday Inn Express here, and Hampton Inn here. And this roadway has maintenance provided, and that type of thing. So that's a recorded document. The parcels out in front of that along Highway 100, they just have direct access onto that. And then you can see where Winn-Dixie and the restaurant there sort of funnel together, and that's a different subdivision. I think that's Flagler Plaza number one, and then west of this road is Flagler Plaza number two.
Mr. Cove, I will tell you, I mean, this is one of the items that we worked real close with the applicant in trying to find the best optimal ingress and egress to your project. If it was another day, if it was raw land in the front and on the side adjacent to Old Kings Road and we were able to start from the scratch, probably would have been planned a little bit different. Well, but you got that land, not landlocked, but you got the final piece that hasn't been developed in the back, and we just tried to make the best of the situation to be able to have the best access that we could for the project.
Yeah, I guess, aside from it being private as opposed to direct access to a publicly maintained right-of-way, where you were showing on the site plan where the secondary access for emergency services is, and that's what all the way to the, basically it's adjacent to the I-95 right-of-way is what it looks
it's,
like.
The emergency access is right there.
Yeah.
In the very southwest corner of the Holiday Inn.
But, I mean, the staff is satisfied this meets all the applicable traffic requirements of the Land Development Code.
Yeah, we do. I mean, Sean, our traffic engineer, reviewed it, and we feel that it is the best option to.
I mean, the emergency access is the same access as the primary access, essentially. There's only one way in and there's only one way out.
Exactly.
The emergency gated access provides a technical second means of ingress and egress to the 96 units in this project. But once you get off the project site, it's the same shopping center, hotel, parking lot.
It is.
Cross access easement. But it meets our requirements.
It meets our requirements, and we're doing the best that we can for the lay of the land. And, and even the shopping center, I mean, you've got more than one access point to a U.S. 100 and Old Kings, and to get two access points out, at least out of this condo.
As you say, it's not optimal, but as long as it meets our codes, that's not our problem. That's the applicant's problem.
Right.
Yeah. The only other issue I had is the land itself is, some of it's ag. The rest of it, you mentioned green space or whatever.
There is some of the land to the south is conservation lands that are designated on our future land use map.
Yeah.
It's actually part of the, we have a DRI that's kind of in-house right now and going through the process, and that is part of those lands. And that land conservation would there'd be no development adjacent to it. It'd be a big buffer, whatever that DRI is going to be to the south.
That's what I was sort of gathering from the staff comments on it. And, this is a classic, you can't see it from my house type of development. I mean, unless there was a chance of putting multifamily up against the south boundary line of this property. I mean, there's nothing around there that 96 two-story condominium buildings aren't going to include.
And that's one thing that we, just to add to, our code, does have a requirement that the applicant may have a neighborhood meeting, and there's really no neighbors around there, so to speak. But the applicant did coordinate had worked with the hotel site to get the access. Public or Winn-Dixie and the tenants there.
I would have been interested to see who would have shown up for a neighborhood meeting in this area. And then the final thing is all the drainage on site? Part of the property looks like it's a combined drainage.
The property was designated the headmaster drainage system on the east side.
Excuse me, could you come up to the podium, please, and give us your name?
I'll be glad. My name is Lee Casri, I'm a developer. The property was originally was designed for master drainage system on the east side of the boundary and southeast corner outside of our property. But because of the St. John timing to get a permit from them, we decided not even going to the original master permit we had. We applied for the new permit. We created a retention area on our site, two retention area, and we contained the water on our site, even though we have a master drainage system outside our property.
Well, that's why I was wondering why it looked like it was a lot more retention than
It is more than what required. The other reason we wanted to have it more water, more green area for the neighbors and for the residents.
Anything else, Bob?
No, that's all my questions.
Glenn?
The same thing with the private access. You know, we had it come up before, but that was residents. Is there some sort of a signed agreement that they're going to help to maintain that private access in and out?
Yeah. Lee Casri. Yes, there is an agreement with the two hotel site and our site for the maintain and repairing of that access easement. And that is recorded, and the staff do have a copy of that.
Okay. That's it? Okay. I guess I just, the only clarification I wanted was similar to what Mr. Cuff was talking about on the emergency access. It's hard to tell. It looks like it ties into the, I guess that's the Holiday Inn parking lot. Is that right?
Right, you'll see the best.
You have. Yeah. There's no way of blowing that up, huh?
Sure.
Or is there?
There is.
I mean, does it tie into a parking space, into a...
That emergency access, we have agreement with the owner of the hotel, and the document already been recorded that he allows us to have access to his property. And also he signed document that we have a right as a contractor to work on his site.
Yeah, I understand. I'm just trying to figure out where it physically ties in, but it ties in, I guess, to where the dumpster
location
is.
Next to the dumpster, right.
Okay. Okay.
And Holiday Inn has excess parking, so it's just not...
Gotcha, which and they wouldn't be using the dumpster access as a parking space anyway. That kind of clarifies what I was wondering. I guess the only other question I have, I don't know if this is staff or applicant, is... Where are they with their school board concurrency agreement? Is it imminent? Is it?
We do have agreement with the school board. They already approve us. We meet all the criteria. But the staff, they mentioned there might be some fees that we have to agree with the school board. We contact school board. They said no fees included. You don't need to pay any fees to them. Then refer us to the school board attorney to discuss with them. We emailed them. We have several emails from them. They said no fees included. And we're expecting for the letter from there to receive it, to submit to staff for the waiving of any fees involved.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, this time we... open it up for any public comment, and I would like the record to go ahead and reflect that there is no one from the public who has come forward. And so with that, we will bring it back to the board, and any additional questions, comments, or we'll entertain a motion. So I'll kind of throw it back to the board. And anybody has anything else
I, for one, am concerned about the access. That's a pretty good sized project that they're going to put up there, and to be on private road.
Private's better than public.
Well, the parking lot for the Holiday Inn is private. That don't belong to the city. The private road doesn't belong to the city.
That's a good thing they have that recorded agreement for access then.
Well, I just don't want it to come back and bite us.
How could it?
Project that size should have its own access, period. I mean, he's landlocked. If he doesn't have an access, he's landlocked. The access is a concern, because you're going to have that many vehicles coming in and out.
How was this originally with the Winn-Dixie Plaza, Bob? Was this parcel part of it originally, or do you recall? Or
not offhand. Okay. I mean, I'm not basing any of my discussion or comment on any work I did on it back in the ITT days. Yeah. But it's all of that area is serviced by cross-access easements that originated back in the Jim Zengage days of county approvals and so forth. And I mean, I hear Glenn's Mr. Davis's comments, and I share some of the concerns. Mm-hmm. But if it meets the city's land development requirements, maybe our code needs to be amended to mandate something along the lines that Mr. Davis is saying. But as it stands now, if it meets the requirements, I see no reason to withhold approval for it. No offense to the Winn-Dixie Shopping Plaza, but this will be the nicest thing in the neighborhood. I mean, from what I've seen down there. I assume the shopping center's filled the vacant internet cafe that was in the middle of it a while back.
Ocean's, they just did a retail plaza up there where Woody's is.
The dentist did a nice job on that part. That's lot 3, I think. Yeah, I mean, it's a good commercial development. It's not an area that I would look at on a map and say, what a great place for a residential project. But if it meets the requirements, I think it'll be helpful to the area.
If I could just add, we do, a lot of our development was done in late 70s, early 80s, some of these shopping centers, and then you do have some raw land that's still, not landlocked, but it is what it is, the way it was planned. One thing I think that's advantageous for this is, as a mixed-use development, there's mixed-use developments around the state of Florida that the multifamily project doesn't have just one access to that and not shared with other areas. But one thing I think, Mr. Davis, with this particular situation where we are satisfied is that where the primary ingress and egress is going is through, we have a recorded agreement. There's an agreement between, the parties to maintain that agreement. But also you have the spine road going in and out directly to Highway 100. You're avoiding going through, your primary parking areas. You're avoiding going through the Winn-Dixie parking area. You have the main spine road of the access that goes to State Road 100. You don't have to go through the Winn-Dixie Shopping Center to get out to 100. So I think with that, I think the project is safe for pedestrians and safe access for the vehicles and for emergency personnel as well.
Can you make a left-hand turn go west on 100 out of the main entrance there?
No.
I didn't think so. You have to go down to the lights, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought of. I just couldn't remember. I've been through there a bunch.
If you come to the service station at the very northwest part of the development up there, and if you left that drive to the west there, you can actually make a U-turn where the...
Right.
You got that median opening.
I remember that now. Yeah, I got you.
I really, not just this project here, but I agree with Mr. Cuff that we need to take and get the code or something that's going to give better access. I mean, we're approving things where they got one access in, but they consider the emergency access as the second access. And it really isn't an access for the public. It's an access for emergencies. So it's something I think we should really look at, Mr. B. The code is just... I for one, don't think that...
I don't think it's the code as much as the orientation of the parcel and the challenges they had to work with.
Well, you could be very much right, but you're sending traffic out. They can't make a left turn. They got to go up to the light. Then we're telling them that they can make a U-turn at the light. U-turns are very dangerous.
Well, it's kind of typical for most of these commercial developments now to force people to go two lights and not have a median break for westerly or easterly bound. Especially a larger community center of that size. Because if you have a community center with the existing traffic counts and you've got people trying to make a left-hand turn and a median break, they're going to get more accidents. So they forced the right-hand turn and then the U-turns. But that's also an arrow there, so that kind of diminishes any prospect of accidents as well.
Well, I was a traffic engineer for 36 and a half years. Mm-hmm. We all studied the same books. And we didn't really allow projects of like this if they were not able to do right and left out of their projects, even if it required them to put in a traffic signal. You know, but... That's neither here nor there. It's something that I probably would like to bring up, as far as the code goes. I just, as a traffic engineer, I don't agree with that. I mean, you're causing a problem.
Go ahead.
Okay. Let me just add to Sean Costello is a traffic engineer who also looked at the studies, but I will tell you, our land development code is, when we reference some of our traffic transportation networks and what we require is a lot. We require what the Florida Department of Transportation requires. And I will tell you that State Road 100 is also a state highway. And the state will not allow a cut for this access to go left because of the distance between I-95 and interchange and where this is. The state would not allow it. And I can tell you right now, if the applicant wanted to pursue and go to the state to do that, the state would say no. Because our code requires us to comply with the state regulations, the Florida Department of Transportation. No matter what we put or propose in the code, we have to comply with the state regulations. It's their road.
So we went through the state.
The state approves all these cuts onto their state highway, yes.
they would have to go through the Florida Department of Transportation.
If it was not approved for the multifamily project, what would you likely see back there? If it went to commercial, it's obviously going to generate a lot more trips than it would be for this multifamily. We sort of roughed it out, maybe 750 weekday daily trips here. But because you got so many commercial uses in here, I would probably estimate 15% of the trips would never get out on the arterial roadway network because, and probably 5% aren't even going to be done by a vehicle, but they'd rather be done by a bicycle or by pedestrians because the Winn-Dixie Center over there, you're going to have a good portion of the trips ending up there at the drugstore, the convenience store, and the restaurants.
Not only that, this project is probably going to be a good catalyst for that center to be redeveloped, just like the Palm Harbor Shops Center is being redone. That one's pretty dated. Anybody have any idea how old it is?
It predates the city by at least 10 years. The main tenants, the Winn-Dixie, I know, was talking about doing some improvements there a while ago, but I don't know if that's been...
And you make a great point.
I'm seeing like a rear access possible right there along the rear boundary line for that Winn-Dixie parcel. That can be something to add into the future later down the road.
The applicant has discussed that with Winn-Dixie, and Winn-Dixie is, from when I've dealt with them as a planning consultant, they are very, very slow to move, and no one really wants to make a decision.
But Chris, your point's well taken too. I mean, a lot of our mixed-use projects where we have the multifamily adjacent to some of the shopping centers, Arbitrace is a great example with the Publix. I mean, you've got that multifamily project where you've got a lot of internal capture where the residents are walking to the Publix and they're shopping, and you see the same scenario over at the down to the east where you have the Publix Shopping Center and Beach Village Apartments. Beach Village Apartments are very successful, a lot of internal capture where they're getting on their bikes, they're walking to the shopping center, they're eating there. That's one, a great example. I can see a multifamily project again potentially generating some, you know, more rooftops you have, the better the synergy with the commercial businesses, the barbecue places, you got more people eating there, you got more people shopping, you know, and that's why when I started out the presentation of when we first did the comp plan is when we looked at the original owner, and I can't remember the details, but I do know that one of the reasons is putting this multifamily, because we have the future land use map as mixed use, and really you got a bona fide mixed use. You got some office, you've got some medical, you have, you know, retail, and you have multifamily all in one area.
Well, with that being said, I know.
Hold on, I got another question before we get on, if we could. I just want to just let the staff make clarify that I'm reading this right. I just want to make sure we're following the code. So, in chapter 5.0204, connectivity and interconnectivity, paragraph B, all new residential developments of more than 50 dwelling units or 2,500 feet of road length shall provide a minimum of 2 vehicular entrances from a public right-of-way with at least one of the vehicular entrances connecting to a public collector or arterial road, but both directly connecting to a public road.
Yeah, our interpretation of this site is that it meets that code requirement, meets the comp plan.
It meets that language.
Yes, we believe it does.
Public.
Public access.
Public is a big word when we were told that it was private access. That's not public.
But the public is allowed to access. This is the best scenario that you can have. There's no other scenario. You can't make the property undevelopable. It is a public access. You have public access, both the ingress and egress, for the residents and for all of the public.
Okay, now, so, what we're saying here is that, I just want to make sure we're consistent with all the things that we approve, is that the language in here says two vehicular entrances, okay? In this case, we have the two, but one's an emergency access only. It's not used for anything else. It's gated or whatever, you know?
Right.
Is that consistent with what, how staff interprets our code on every other project?
Yes, and I can give you plenty of examples.
I just want to make sure.
Yes, we have had...
Because I don't want us to do some, personally, I don't want to do something that we don't, well, I don't want to interpret the code one way for one project and another way for another. If we have a history of interpreting the code and approving projects with two entrances, but one can be strictly emergency.
Yes.
Okay.
And there are several projects that we have approved in Palm Coast where you do have an emergency ingress and egress access that is a stabilized base.
Right, I remember.
You have a breakaway.
Right, I remember that.
That is not the ideal situation. If you are able to have permanent entrance to, that is ideal, ideal situation. But as far as emergency purposes, having the two ingress and egresses, we have practiced that in the past.
So the staff is comfortable with that interpretation?
Yes.
And that's okay?
Yes.
Can I move to approve then?
Absolutely.
I'm going to approve project as written.
Okay.
Second.
We have a motion to approve and a second. Do we have any further discussion before we take the vote? If not, let's go ahead and call the vote then, if you would, please.
Okay. Mr. Beebe?
Yes.
Mr. Dolmey?
Yes.
Mr. Cuff?
Yes.
Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Tyner, do we have any other items to discuss?
No. We are continuing, as I stated at our last meeting, we are continuing with the code rewrites. Mr. Hoover has been a big part of that process. We conducted our first stakeholder meeting looking at the landscape code. Bill has been working with some of the stakeholders and continue to make progress on that front as well as other sections of the code. So this year, 2015, plan on the planning board having plenty of special workshops. Having workshops of going through and looking at our code. I mean, it's been since 2008. The code's breathing. Times change. It's now that we're getting busy and actually applying the code, there's some things that we're hearing from applicants. Some things that we want to readdress and look at and keep the code fresh and keep it moving forward. So it's that time. Bringing some things back to you this year early.
Okay, good. Do you anticipate having are we going to have our regular meeting this month or not? Do we have any other items or are we going to wait till February?
I will, we've got, 2 weeks out? I'll let y'all know something probably next week.
Okay.
Don't know. We've got some things working up possibly.
So keep that date clear.
Can I move to adjourn?
Anything else?
Okay. Move to adjourn.
Second.
Does it require a second?
There we go.
Can I add something to you? Can I?
We're done.
That's fine. That's fine.